1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
10.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
What a tackle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, welcome back, one and all, to another edition of the Scolgers Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Broadmerkle, here always with my good friend, my Vikings faithful, Mike Anderson. How are we doing tonight, Mike?
Well, most excited I've been for a podcast.
It's an exciting week for sure. Vikings take the field again this weekend. We took the holiday weekend off, plus a little bit there, but we're back. We're here, start of the season.
We're locked in.
We're dialed in. We're here to get you dialed in and get you excited for this Vikings team, if you're not already. And if you're not, have you been under a rock?
Yeah.
Maybe Rock Thomas? We might get to that later.
Yeah.
Well, we got the Minnesota Vikings taking on the San Francisco 49ers at home.
At home, Sunday.
But before we do that...
Noon.
We need to let the players in on my latest wardrobe addition.
So
paint them a word picture, because I'm pretty proud of this shirt that I purchased.
It is, I would call it a Hawaiian Viking shirt. It's got some nice flowers on here. Many shades of purple. I'm counting at least maybe 3-4 shades of purple here. Very intricate, you know, detailed. I like the buttons. Almost they look like kind of the wood style buttons, button up. And the beautiful, of course, Viking logo right over the heart, you know.
Can't go wrong, man.
Yeah.
Tommy Bahama, you make a good shirt.
I mean, it's classy.
It is.
But it can be fun. It's both. I mean, you could go
it's
anywhere.
It's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything you want in a shirt.
Yeah.
Especially for
There's not much that shirt can't do.
This is true. You know, I haven't asked it to do much, but I'm sure it could do a lot more than I've already
you never
asked
know.
It to. But shirts aside, Mike.
Shirts aside...
So, how are we feeling coming into this game? What do we know?
Oh, we're getting into it, or
what's happening, man?
Do you
want to step back? You want to go maybe check out some stuff that's happened since we last podcasted around the week?
Yeah, let's jump to some.
Okay, let's ease our way into this. Okay, so if we had recorded in between here, we would have been able to say, "Well, Aaron got a contract," but it wasn't Aaron you were thinking.
Yeah.
But we can't use that anymore because both Aaron's got a contract.
They both got him.
So Aaron Rodgers, I think, what is it, 30-some-odd million in new money per year for like the 4 extra years they added or something like that. I guess that is what it is. You never really expected Aaron Rodgers to leave. I wish they would have paid him more because then they would have less room to do stuff.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I got to a point where I wasn't sure. Probably life on the line, I would never have said he's going to leave, you know, but I was definitely starting to get to a point where I thought it was 50-50.
Sure.
You know, most of the Packer fans are irrational, so they're,
wait.
You know, yeah, they're all like, oh, he was never going to leave, but, I actually have a couple of buddies that are, you know, what I would deem rational Packer fans. And I don't know that they necessarily thought it got to 50-50, but they definitely had a level of concern that some of the things that came out in the media and just, you know, Rodgers has turned into, not only just, you know, and don't chastise me, Vikings fan, but in my opinion, probably the best player in the NFL, but he's starting to turn into, you know, he's not LeBron James by anything. I'm not getting to that
right.
level, but he's definitely turning into more of a media figure, which you see big time athletes tend to do as they're transitioning out of the game. Now, I'm not saying Rodgers is in a full transition out of the game, because he's not. He's got many years left, unfortunately for us Vikings fans, but he's definitely, you know, he's dating Danica now. Before that, it was Olivia Munn. We understand
always in the pop news just because of that. Yeah.
He loves California. You know, I think he's had some movies appearances. He certainly has tons of commercials. So
let's go double check.
I think there's got to be a level of concern, right? That Green Bay isn't exactly this beautiful coastal. Well, it might be coastal, but not.
not the coast you want to see.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they had a little bit of concern, but Rodgers obviously took care of that. I think it can pay up to like $180 million. Big contract. Well, it was like how much guaranteed? Over one something guaranteed? $100 million guaranteed.
But it could be worth more guaranteed.
Yeah, right? And
it meets the escalators.
Pays him $80 million by next March, which is kind of that was the shocking figure to me. Big boost right out the gate.
Yeah, I think a chunk of that is a big signing bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you do? It's there. Obviously, there's some back pay there. I use back pay as a term that they're paying him for things he's already done.
Right. They're paying him for, okay, you were underpaid the last 3-4 years because you were under contract at a low value, and all these guys came in after you and just started bumping it up in huge chunks.
So, I mean, Packer fans have been, they're always somewhat happy and annoying and whatever, but certainly they're in a pretty good place right now. They're happy with the draft, and they're obviously happy with what Rodgers has done here. So,
and as a Vikings fan, it kills me to say this, but they actually absolutely crushed the draft.
Well, we're going to touch on that in our preview show. But
So he gets paid. Aaron Donald gets paid.
Finally.
I think he for about a week there, had the richest defensive contract in history. And then we get this big trade of Khalil Mack to Chicago. They give up, I believe, 2 firsts, but one of the firsts, they get back a second. And I think, was it next year they get back a second?
I'd have to pull it.
It's, that to me is a travesty for Oakland. Like, you really should have tried to figure out a way to keep him.
Well, I mean, how strange is it that allegedly Gruden didn't even have communication with Mac basically at any point in time?
Yeah, that's, it's super strange, and it's...
How does that happen?
I don't know.
It's a franchise, he's... I mean, you can argue he's one of the best, if not the best, defensive player in the league in what? Early in his career.
You could honestly have 10 first-round picks in the next 3 years, and you wouldn't even get close to having a chance at hitting.
You might not see a player like that for many years. I mean, he's a generational talent, and you're going to... something weird, I don't know, but I'm starting to really get concerned about Oakland, Gruden going in there. I thought it was kind of exciting, franchise is moving. Are we officially Vegas or not?
I think we're still Oakland right now.
Okay. Anyways, you guys know what we're talking about. But Gruden coming in, you had a young core. You've got Carr, you've got Cooper.
Well, Carr, yeah.
Well, whatever, jury's out on Carr. But, 2 years ago, Carr had some promise. Obviously, last year, it kind of went off the rails a little bit. But Amari Cooper, again, another player that has shown tremendous upside, and then where did he go? A lot of people that are listening here probably drafted Amari Cooper early last year, and you probably didn't do too well in fantasy leagues. But, they definitely had some talent there, and then for them to just, for Gruden to come in and just disassociate himself with Mack, because I think I read something where his first conversation with him was after he'd been traded and basically said, thank you for being a great Raider and you're gone. Makes no sense to me. Don't get it. It's even crazier than the fact that it took so long for the Rams to sign Donald. I don't know. I'm just glad the Vikings are run.
Okay, but along those two threads, because those two threads almost tied together, the Rams were apparently trying to trade for Khalil Mack.
Yeah. I saw that.
How the hell would they fit that contract after they just signed
on? Are they printing money?
I don't know. It does. I don't know what kind of voodoo they're doing in the cap, but you know what? I consider myself a cap expert. I don't even think I could figure out that.
So Donald, 6 years, $135.87 million guaranteed.
Rich.
And then I've got...
Mac is like 140, isn't he?
6 years, $141.90 million guaranteed. So basically, very similar contracts. It's crazy to think, but when we're starting, a couple million here or there, to you or I, that's, we're not working anymore, but to them, it's nothing.
Yeah. But anyway, so he gets traded to the Bears, so great. We get to face him twice a year now.
I am
really looking forward to that.
We've touched on it already a little bit offseason. We're going to touch on it more in the preview, but man, Bears are starting to look like a team that, hey, maybe you don't just count those two W's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Vikings fans know going into Chicago, we never count that.
You, you,
that
well,
as a win,
what but. You do is you count it as a split, and you 50-50 the away game. Yeah, but now they got... They're coming off a season where the defense was greatly improved. They're coming off a season where Trubisky didn't absolutely crap the bed.
Started to get better.
So if you put that together, if he takes the next step, if he's actually able to produce more, that defense also takes the next step now with Mack in play.
Roquan Smith.
First round pick. If he ends up panning out the way everyone thinks he will, that defense is back to Chicago-style defense that you feared.
And the offense has weapons. They've got Howard. They've got Tariq Cohen. They've got Kevin White. They absolutely love Anthony Miller. Kevin White is still healthy.
He's still healthy?
Yeah, Kevin White is still healthy. Well, Trubisky. I mean, it's definitely
Kevin White watch 2018.
I'd be more concerned about that team right now than I would the Lions. I mean, it's...
Or the Packers, honestly.
Well, and we'll get
to me, but
yeah, and we'll get, you know,
yeah, we'll get to that in the next.
Well, yeah,
in the previous episode. I think
preview show is coming out here soon. If catch it this weekend, it's honestly one of my favorite shows. So if you're listening to this one, haven't listened to the preview, go ahead, find it online. It's going to be right there.
These are both going to be released around the same time. So
preview show is fun though.
It is. We'll take a look at the whole league and take a spin around there. But we're focusing on the Vikings today.
Yeah,
I think that's all the major news we need to hit, except for one more point. And I only bring this up because I'm a cap guy. New Orleans Saints, they shifted around Teddy Bridgewater's contract.
Yeah.
So what they did, if you've seen reports, is they were able to create $2.7 million in cap space. His contract was initially $5 million with only like $500K guaranteed. What they did is they added two voidable years. We were discussing this pre-show. What that does, and what I expect this to be, anyone out there listening, is those years are immediately going to void after this year. That's what I expect. This is just a move to slide that money down to 2019 to 2020 cap. They've done this a couple times. They've done this with Drew Brees. That's why the controversy last year was the voiding year contract and if he was going to be a free agent in 2018. So there's some trickery they're playing there. The reason I bring this up is because right now they're a fairly good team. In 2 years, they're still going to be in this cap hell because what they're doing is they're just sliding everything down. They're sliding the problem down the hill. They're not dealing with it. Eventually, they're going to have to deal with it, and they're going to lose out on re-signing some of their young guys that they just drafted. So, something to watch going in the future. Just keep an eye on what the Saints are doing because they're not that great at handling the cap. Unlike the Vikings guys who are just freaking wizards.
Right.
In any case,
we can get to...
We're back to the Vikings.
Yeah. So let's start it out before we get into the game with... And I don't even care if you disagree with me, Vikings fan, with what I think is a preposterous...
Preposterous!
So the Vikings are honoring the 20-year reunion of the 1998 Vikings. They're bringing in all these guys, and they're going to, like, celebrate 1998. I think it's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, I can't even verbalize or put into words. This team didn't... Not only did they not win a Super Bowl, they didn't make the Super Bowl. Yes,
right?
15-1, one of the most prolific offenses of all time. Awesome. I mean, the 2006 Twins, I think it was, had the AL MVP, the batting champ, the Cy Young. They got swept out of the first round by the Oakland A's. I mean, Twins didn't, you know, it's just sports. At the end of the day, you have to win a championship. And I don't understand it. I mean, you could say, hey, you know, we welcomed the 98 Vikings guys, and maybe you pan up to a suite that's got all these players that are coming back to catch up or whatever. But they're, like, making a big deal about it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, where are you at on this? Because I just don't.
You know, it feels a lot like celebrating mediocrity for a franchise that doesn't have anything else to celebrate. And you wonder what there's to me, and obviously to you, there's no point to do that.
No,
you haven't won anything yet, so you don't get to celebrate yet. That's the reason why you stay hungry. That's how you stay hungry. That's how you continue to want to get better. I don't know. It seems stupid to me. I'm going to be actually at the game, so I'll relay how stupid it is.
You let me know how big a thing it is, because...
I really hope they don't make a huge fanfare of it. But if it goes like any other typical pregame like ceremony like that, there'll be like a five-minute video or something played on the big boards. They'll like pan over to them. One of them will have like a pregame interview with Greg Coleman, and that'll be it. I don't know how it's going to go. It's probably going to be Robert Griffith, who, by the way, is actually responsible for the 1998 loss. Go ahead and rewatch it. It is not Gary Anderson. He dropped 3 surefire interceptions, at least one of them in the end zone, that would have taken back a touchdown that Atlanta got. So do not blame it on Gary Anderson. It's Robert Griffith. There's something called regression to the mean. That's why Gary Anderson missed that field goal. Even though it was a chip shot, it's bound to happen. That's another podcast, though, Mike.
One side note, I heard they were going to actually try to honor the 98 Vikings right before halftime.
Right before halftime?
But they were worried that they would all take a knee.
Oh, man. For those of you that aren't aware, that's what the Vikings did before halftime in that game.
Yeah. Prolific offense of all time, and they took a knee going into half.
Just chuck it up to Randy, man.
And not like a knee, what we're talking about, controversial NFL.
No, like, you know, an actual, like... It.
They
like,
literally took a knee to run the clock out when, you know, they probably could have put some points on the board. I don't know, Randy Moss, he was all right. I mean, he might have been able to...
I mean, he was okay. I mean, 1998, he was all right.
All right, we got that out of the system. Maybe we should break it out. Maybe we should get into the actual game.
I mean, I guess if you want to in a preview show.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's up to you.
So, Sunday... you like to call it historic.
Sunday at noon at historic U.S. Bank Stadium.
You'll be there. You're undefeated, we were talking about before the show.
Let's see. Yes, I'm undefeated when going to games at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Now, granted, what are we at? You're at 3 preseason games?
Wait, did we win Jacksonville?
Yeah. Didn't we win by 1?
Or did we lose by 1?
I thought they scored late. Well, now it's...
Hold
now
on, we're looking this up.
Spiel.
I know I'm undefeated in the regular season. I know that for certain.
I think... no, you might be right. I think we did lose
I think we did lose to Jacksonville. So, that's one mark on my record that we lost to
it's
Jacksonville.
It's preseason, though. You
but
know?
That's preseason. I was
we
there,
did lose
14-10. I was there for
we
the,
did lose 14-10. That's my bad. You're not undefeated. You're
3-1. But I was there for the Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah.
We won that game in spectacular fashion. So, hopefully we don't have to win in that manner. Hopefully it's a very boring game.
Right.
But, you know what? We'll see. So we're taking on the 49ers. I was really excited to see Jerick McKinnon back, but
yeah,
he blew out his ACL, what was it, a week and a half ago?
Something
like that. So
was already having...
he had the injury like a couple weeks
prior. Issue, but they were... they weren't expecting him to miss week one with the prior injury. Basically, they were holding him out of preseason games for precaution. And then I think it was after their last preseason game, he got back in and
it was during a practice. I remember that for sure.
It was non-contact. It sounds like, so, I mean, you feel bad for McKinnon, certainly. You know, I think I loved him here and I was excited to see what he could do.
Absolutely.
There with, you know, kind of the main guy. And I'm sure it, as a 49er fan out there, you probably, are a little devastated, but
you had to have been at least a little bit excited from what you saw from, you know,
yeah,
no, some definitely. Of his highlight reels. So he goes down. I don't even know who the backup is at this point. It doesn't really matter. It's going to be their second string running back. Now, obviously, he's going to be dropping performance. They're going to be relying more on the pass, which probably going to play into our strength.
Yeah, they got a couple guys. They got Alfred Morris, I believe, is going to get the start, and then this Matt Breda, who I think was a rookie last year, actually did some nice things.
So they'll probably be doing like a split.
Yeah. So I think Breda, I think, is kind of more of a third down kind of guy. It comes in, he can catch a ball, do a little bit like that.
Sure.
Anyways, so but definitely probably a step off from McKinnon, or step down McKinnon. And then they are missing, I think, you know, one of their bigger linebackers is doubtful, not necessarily ruled out of the game, but certainly two players, one on each side of the ball.
I think one of them is suspended, too. One of their linebackers is also suspended.
Yeah, that could be, too. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're definitely short some guys, but Jimmy G, I don't know if I mentioned it specifically in this podcast, but I love everything about that kid. Like, he is prototypical, like, just like Brady in how he throws the ball. Gets it out of there quick. Last time we played these guys, we couldn't get a sack on him because he was throwing it out so quick. Last time I've seen Jimmy G play, like, doesn't matter how fast the rush is, you're not getting to him.
Right.
He's that quick. He's like, I likened it to Eli Manning a couple years ago, where we just couldn't touch him. He was getting it out so damn quick. So I think we're going to struggle getting to him. But on the back side, we're really deep at D end, defensive back. So we should have the advantage here. I mean, you got the speedster, who is it? Marquise Goodwin?
Yep.
Is that correct? Yep. So, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we don't completely crush the 49ers. But what do you think? What are you worried about from these guys?
I guess we touched on a little bit in key injuries from Niners side. Let's touch on what we've got to go on here for the Vikes Sunday. Xavier, questionable. Sounds like he's going to play.
Mid-season form, Xavier.
Yeah, he's already got an injury. You know, as you know, he typically will miss a play or two here or there and scare, you know, the hell out of us. But I believe he will play. Mac Alexander is doubtful. Reading between the lines, it does not sound like he's going to play from kind of the reporters, writers that, you know,
I think I read he didn't practice much today, didn't do anything meaningful, which is usually a bad sign.
Yep, which would put Mike Hughes starting nickel corner, most likely, I would assume, at least.
Yeah, I don't know who else we have that would really take up that role.
No. So, and then ruled out would be Elfline. Rock Thomas was ruled out, and Collins was also ruled out with elbow. Okay. So, so that's kind of injury-wise, again, right there. Probably not a huge deal, assuming Rhodes plays, but certainly Alexander improved. They liked him a lot in the preseason and just going into this year. I think they were expecting him to, you know, be a component, and I'm not saying he's not going to be, but if he's out this game, you're going to have a rookie step in and probably have to play a fair amount of snaps.
And you want to know what? If Hughes shows out and he shows out strong, that could be a spot where he doesn't relinquish.
Yeah.
It very well could happen to where he plays so well that they're like, well, we're going to kind of ride the hot player.
Yeah.
And then he continues to develop and he gets comfortable. And all of a sudden, Mac is a backup now.
Yep. So I guess when I look at this game, Vikes at home, really tough to beat. Obviously, last year, you know, we take care of the Saints at home. And
twice.
You know, I don't know our home record last year. I mean, the loss is what we lost to Pittsburgh week 2. That was on the road. We lost to Detroit. That was
at
home.
Yeah. So I think we're 7-1 at home.
You know, so the Vikings are
6-2 on the road because we lost to Carolina as well.
I would say that, you know, we are top 3 probably in the league from a home advantage right now. That place is going to be rocking, rolling. I think it's going to be a very difficult environment for a 49ers team to come into. And try to win a football game, especially
that cannot be understated.
No, and especially you probably have been game planning for a while for this game, right? I mean, you knew this was your week one opponent, and McKinnon was probably a relatively big part of the game plan, and now he's gone. And if you can't really replace him with, I mean, Alfred Morris is not Jerick McKinnon. In no way are they similar. Style runner at all. It's not the same.
Even that other young guy, he's really, McKinnon is a whole different mold of guy.
And so now you go from where you might have tried to establish a little bit of run or
do a little screen,
Now I think, are they really going to try to establish a run with two mediocre, probably at best, running backs, or are you going to have Jimmy G drop back and try to beat you through the passing game? I just don't think at home, in that atmosphere, with our defensive line and with our depth, even without Mackenzie Alexander, I don't see how he's going to be able to sit back and pick apart this defense from a passing standpoint. So I'm with you. I do not really see a path for them to win this football game. I don't know if I see a path for them to keep this football game close, to be honest with you. If you're a fan of the podcast, we'll get to learn a little bit. I try to make, I think I picked us to lose a game or two last year.
Yep.
So I will absolutely try to be, you know, realist. I'm not going to have the Vikings going 16-0 this year by any means, but
yeah, I try to be the same way. It's
you have a tendency to lean a little bit more on the other end of the spectrum.
I lean more optimist, yeah. Obviously, but.
But no, I don't see a way. I have a little bit of concern about Cousins, it's a new offense for him, it's chemistry, it's going to be a really electric environment, and I want to see how he handles it.
Sure.
I'm hoping he doesn't necessarily have to get into a 2-minute drill, anything like that. Maybe at the end of the first half, you know. But
you know, I'm with you there. Kind of ease him into it. Do everything you can to take off that initial pressure.
Yeah.
Because I think it was on Good Morning Football where they're talking about this is the most pressure ever seen on the quarterback. All right. This defense is completely stacked. The position groups, the wide receivers, the running backs are completely stacked. If this thing goes off the rails, there's only one person that everyone is going to blame. And it's going to be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Because this defense is still good no matter how you swing it.
Yep.
The supporting cast he has is good no matter how you swing it. There is one person that will get blamed for anything going wrong in this season, and it's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
How he responds to that is going to be key. So, I'm with you completely there. Try to keep it as low-key as you can for Kirk. Give him short fields from your defense. Get out there. Get that running game established with Cook. Let him just go nuts. Don't force him to make any huge throws. Just get that rhythm. Get that rhythm going. Get that chemistry going with Thielen, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
And just, you know, just make it a nice, smooth game for him.
You know, let me bounce this off you. There, Cousins is 0-3 all-time week one. Jimmy G's never lost week one.
How many games has Jimmy G won?
Jimmy G's never lost,
well, how many games has Jimmy G played week one?
He's 1-0.
Okay.
To start. I mean, Cousins is 0-3.
And how many games has Jimmy G played total? Started?
I don't know. What is he, like 7-0 or something like that? No, a little more than that. Is he like 9-0, 10-0? I don't know. He's never lost.
I don't think it's quite that much. Okay. Never lost.
So, I mean, how do we get over this? I mean, talk me through it. I mean, I'm concerned.
Here's how I talk you through it. Last year, the 49ers were a garbage football team until Jimmy G started.
Yeah.
Right? Then I think what you see happen is you see him come in there, understand what's going on, throw like Tom Brady, has that just decision-making you need and able to get it out quick, able to erase a lot of the deficiencies you see on that team, and then all of a sudden everyone else on that team believes in him a bit more.
Yeah,
they get that much more motivation, and they end up, what did they end up, like 6-10 last year?
Something like that.
So for one, he's not 10-0 with the San Francisco 49ers.
He's
4-0 with the Patriots, right?
If I recall correctly, they won 5 or 6. So he might be up to.
So he might be 10-0, but yeah. He went 4-0 with the Patriots roster.
Okay? No.
With the Patriots, so that's a whole different category. And then he went 5-0, whatever, with the 49ers.
Yeah.
That to me doesn't say he's unbeatable. I always say, no, you're not saying that. But that to me says that, you want to know what? He understands the offense. He's a good enough quarterback to be able to elevate the entire team around him. But you're going up against a juggernaut. You're going up against a top 4 team last year. You're going up against a top 1 defense in the majority of categories. You're going to have a tough sweat at that no matter what happens. I don't know who he faced off against last year. I do not think he faced off against anywhere near.
I got it right here, actually. So he won on the road against Chicago, 15-14. Obviously, Chicago not a good football team last year.
Again, it's a reasonable defense, but
it's a road game. Put up 15 points. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from it. It's a road game in the NFL.
Absolutely. Yep.
Following week, they beat Houston at Houston, 26-16. That was obviously a decimated Houston team.
Houston without
J.J.
Watt.
Who
else was that in the defense?
Well, Deshaun Watson was out.
Cushing was out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, whatever. 10-point win again on the road. They went into Tennessee and won 25-23, a playoff team, Tennessee was last year. So that's a good win. The following week, they were at home. They hosted Tennessee for that.
Okay.
Following week, Jacksonville comes to the 49ers. They beat a Jacksonville team 44-33.
What week was that, though?
16.
Okay, that was week 6. Okay, I remember that game. That was, what did they win by?
They won by 11. 44-33.
Okay. I think late in the year, Jacksonville just kind of started to decline, because you look back at also the Pittsburgh game where it was like 45-48 or whatever the heck that was in the playoffs. There's something to be said for that.
Right.
But obviously it was late in the year. They had already secured, I think, their number 2 seed or whatever the heck they had.
Yeah, and then the last week they won like 34-13 against a Rams team that did not have anything really. Well, That was a weird situation. Right, like, but they didn't. It sounded like they wanted to avoid us. Is that how that went?
It might have been. All I remember is I don't think that they could have really improved their situation by winning or losing. It didn't matter. It mattered more what someone else did around them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, same thing there. I think they... Didn't they sit Gurley in that game?
I don't remember.
Regardless, the point of the matter is, yeah, they strung together some nice wins.
Yeah, no, I mean...
And, you know, I'm not taking anything against them. They are a good football team. They have a reasonably good defense. They have Richard Sherman now. The only question is how does that all gel? How does that offense now evolve without Jerick McKinnon?
Yep.
How does that evolve year two with Jimmy Garoppolo? So I don't know what to expect out of that.
And I think that Jimmy G has a real opportunity here. He's going to be feeling a lot of pressure too, right? He's undefeated. He came in and took a terrible football team last year and rattled off, you know, whatever it was, 5-6 wins, including beating two playoff teams back to back. When they were playing, you know, Jalen Ramsey played in that game. He threw for 240 and two scores against them. Had a very good game. But now he's coming in. There's a lot of hype. Everyone's up on the Niners. Certainly their fan base is. They're like, hey, you know, this team finished off very strong last year, and Jimmy G's never lost. And, you know, they're believing, like every fan base is right now, right? Cleveland fans are believing. So
believing they can win at least a game?
Yeah. So I think that he's going to have a lot of pressure, and I mean, this is going to be a fun game, but I think that it's going to be a coming out party for either Jimmy G, or it's going to be a coming out party for the Minnesota Vikings as a football team.
Here's what my gut says. My gut says the last game the Minnesota Vikings played in, they were absolutely crushed, 38-7. Okay, every single player on that defense, say for one or two rookies or new acquisitions that haven't been there, understand exactly how close they got. And they understand exactly how it feels to be crushed like that.
Yeah.
And they're hungry.
Oh, yeah.
You look at Danielle Hunter, you look at Everson Griffin, they're hungry. They understand exactly how bad they crapped the bed in that NFC Championship game. They want to come out immediately, knock someone in the mouth and say, nah, we're here, we're coming for it this year. And this is us.
Yeah.
We're defense. We're going to take the ball away. We're going to pick you off. We're going to get to you. We're going to sack you. We're coming for you. And we're going to be ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I expect out of this team. I expect the defense to completely dominate this game. Honestly, I would be surprised if the 49ers got double-digit points.
I think, and we'll get to prediction here shortly, you know, I think 10 to 13 is probably the number that I may expect. It's tough to ever predict 7, you know, or whatever, 7 or 9. I mean, I'm sure we're going to about to see you do it. But, no, I think the defense is the biggest key to this game. Let's bounce to the other side of the ball here quick, though. We've got Dalvin Cook coming back for the first time since, week 4, was it, against Detroit last year? Week 3?
Week 3.5, we'll call it.
Dalvin coming back sounds like he's full go. He was asked. He was asked if, you know, what he expects, and he said they're going to feed him the ball. A lot of people seem to think it's going to be a little bit of a slower get him going into the game. You've got Latavius, who did struggle with a little bit of ball security in the preseason, but I'm not too concerned about that. Yeah. You also obviously have you've got Mike Boone, and then you've got Ham. That, you know, I don't know if he'll get a carry here or there or whatnot, but. How do you see the rushing attack shaping out? Because I do think that the rushing attack is going to be key. They're going to try to give some different looks. I don't know that you're going to see everything in the bag of tricks, you know, so to speak. But I think to get Cousins really acclimated and have this defense also control the game, I think they're going to want to try to establish the run game. And how sure. Where do you see that carry share shaking out? Do you see Latavius getting the carries early? I mean, what are you thinking on that?
Well, my thought is I think their plan is to probably go lighter on Cook than they typically would. So my thought is they're going to game plan for probably like 50-50, okay. Maybe a little bit higher Cook-wise. My actual thought of what's going to happen is Cook is going to be tearing it up so much, they're not going to do that. They're going to abandon that pretty quickly and say, okay, we're going 70-30 right now because you're ready to go. You understand, that was week 4 And he goes down. He's been sitting here waiting this entire time, us get to the,
championship game.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
There's no hesitation there. He was out of the brace. He was ready to go. He's like, yeah, I'm not hesitating at all. I'm ready to go. Let's go. He wanted more carries in the preseason. We only gave him two. He wants it. He's going to get it. And I think once he touches that ball, it's going to be a show. It's going to be like Adrian Peterson-esque level show.
I'm excited for Dalvin. I mean,
I'm on my mind excited for what this offense can do with Dalvin. And you know, you mentioned it's you know, Kirk Cousins' first year in the system, but you also got to understand it's also Keenum's first year in the system when he came in relief of Sam Bradford. So if you can parallel that and say, okay, Kirk has got to be more at least a little bit more of a better preparer and better player than Keenum. And maybe the season doesn't quite work out well because there was a lot of things that went right for Keenum. But I got to figure that Cousins is better objectively than Case Keenum is. Like, I don't think I'm stretching to say that. And if you improve that and you add an extra year to Stephon Diggs and you add an extra year to Laquon Treadwell, who has looked really well in preseason, and now you add Dalvin Cook back in the mix, now you, like, who do you focus on in that offense? Are you taking away Diggs? Okay. Well, now we're just going to do run-pass option. We're going to run Dalvin down your throat. Oh, you're going to take away Dalvin? Well, now we're going to take that ball. We're going to toss it to Diggs. Now you're going to take away both? Now we're going to throw it down to Treadwell in a crossing route, who we actually see because we can actually get to the third read. This offense, I think, is going to surprise people. Maybe not this week. Maybe not next week. But I think by midseason, this offense is going to be clicking at a very high level.
Well, and we'll talk about it this week. You know, you've got a little flexibility, we think, in that it sounds like we both believe Vikings will coast a little bit in this game. Now, it is week one, and if any of you watched the Thursday night game, you'll know that coasting was not a part of it. Obviously, two allegedly decent football teams played last night, but...
allegedly decent?
Yeah, we'll get into that at a later time, but I mean, so you do have concerns about week one. Sometimes weird things go on. But I want to piggyback the running conversation into the O-line. Elfline is out. Have they announced all the starters on the line yet?
I believe
sounds like we got a pretty good idea.
I believe it's going to be
Jones
Reef,
is in.
Reef Compton, Jones, Remmers, Hill.
So let's, I mean, that's a little different than what, it's close, but obviously Jones was someone I don't think either of us foresaw us starting at center game one.
So well, when we acquired him, it was immediately apparent that that was done for a very specific reason. That was done to bridge to Elfline.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're looking at Cornelius Edison starting. He didn't even make the 53.
Right. So
he's not even as good as half the backups.
So let's just give me kind of, I mean, you're the big line guy. Obviously, line is a big part of not only passing but rushing as well. I mean, they're kind of the cog for everything here. So, you know, hopefully we get Elfline back. It sounds like maybe even as early as week two. I don't know what that means for Jones. It sounds like he could shift if needed. I'm not sure if he will, but where do you see it, A, for this week, and B, if Elfline's back week two, what does that do to Jones? What does that do to the line?
So for week one, obviously the weak point is Tom Compton. I don't think that's a stretch at all. He had probably arguably the worst preseason of any of the O-linemen. Jones has not seemed overwhelmed at all. He seems to be picking up the system very quickly. Seems very similar to what he was running in New York. So as far as week one goes, obviously, there's concern because you have DeForest Buckner, you have a couple other good D linemen on the 49ers you're concerned about. But on the same token, that unit that functions as a whole. So if you have one weak piece out of five, you're really not that bad off. Because you can mask that. You can double team who's ever on him. You can chip with the running back. You can chip with the tight end. You can do a lot of things to mask a singular hole on the O-line. And that's where I'm at with us right now. You got Reef, I think he's above average left tackle, right? You have Jones, who has obviously shown to pick up the system quick, and he started, I believe, 12 games last year, 12 or 13, something like that, last year. So he obviously is a competent starter, understands what's going on. You have Remmers kicking into guard, which some people don't like because they think he's a better tackle. honestly, it makes the most sense to me. And then you have Hill, who also didn't seem overwhelmed last year. That unit as a whole will be average or above average. That's all you need from them. All right. The key for this group is they're able to get out in space and create blocks in the second level. That's what we did last year. That's what we're able to do. Obviously, you want to see Elflein in there. When he comes back, I see Jones kicking out to left guard.
Okay.
Because I think Jones is clearly a better guard than Compton. I see that kicking out, and then if Elflein goes down again, Jones, I think, is your backup center, kind of like how Berger played center. He'd kick in to center from right guard if Elflein was out. That's where I see it going.
Okay.
I'm not really overly concerned about it. It's obviously a weak area, but you got to understand, and I harp on this on Twitter all the time, for people that are like, oh, why don't we go out and get these three guys?
Yeah, no.
Well, you got to be weak at some area. You got to be cheap at some area. This is where we chose to be cheap. This is where we chose to be weak.
Yep.
And sometimes you get rookies that pop. Sometimes you get undrafted free agents that pop. And you're not as weak as you think.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, and I think, you know, and we'll probably touch on this. Obviously, it's going to be a point of contention throughout the year. I mean, Vikings fans everywhere are worried about the line. National media is worried about the line. Pete Schrager, Good Morning Football, who has been all about the Vikings all offseason. Like, they're the Super Bowl. They're his pick. Just switched it for their pick segment. Last minute here, when they did the official predictions, someone, first question, one of the Vikings Twitter members immediately asked him, Shrags, you know, you've been all over the Vikes, why the late switch? And he said, the offensive line scares me. So it is something that, you know, you and I are not that worried about right now because we've got a little bit of faith. They weren't that bad last year.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask you this, as someone who might not have seen the numbers, where do you think they ranked last year?
Just overall?
Overall.
12.
That's actually about right. I think we overall were about 12. Passing we were 14th. And then, no, passing we were, I think, we're 8th. And rushing we were like 14th.
So
we're above average. Okay.
So, and I think that's all we need is if this can be a top 15 line, I think that's going to be good enough to let the rest of the team, you know, win you football games. And there's going to be frustrations. We're going to give up a sack on, it's going to happen. Okay.
On 3rd and 5 when we're in field goal range.
It's going to happen.
We're going to give up a sack and give up 12 yards and it's going to take us out of field goal range. It's going to happen.
But you also have a little bit of faith. Let's see how it shakes out. Maybe they're a lot better than you're going to think. It sounds like they really like Brian O'Neill.
Absolutely. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts this year, either from injury or just...
Sounds like he's got to put on a little bit of weight.
Which is typical of all linemen.
But, I mean, he had a hell of a preseason.
Yep.
So, I mean, breathe. Just breathe a little bit.
We're going to get through
this game. But I don't know. I mean, I think now we get in the prediction of the actual game. I think we're there, aren't we?
I think we're there. I think we talked about pretty much everything that we really can.
I mean, obviously, Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph goes without saying. I think that they're going to have, I mean, I don't know. I think they'll be, they'll be good this game. But I think that they're really going to try to establish the run and let the defense continue to win field position. And I think San Francisco is going to have a really, really, really hard time getting anything going. So you want me to throw out my prediction first?
What do you got?
I'm going to go, so I'll take the Vikings at home. To win the game, this is the most excited I've ever been for a professional sports team going into a season. I think when you look at the fact that they were a 13-win
team. Dancing around it so
13
much.
13 last year. They improved. I know 49ers are coming in. Jimmy G, they're hyped. They finished the year strong. But I don't think they have any clue what they're walking into. I think Cousins is efficient. But the running game does most of the damage. I'm going to go Vikings 34, 49ers 13. It's a blowout at the bank, baby.
You know what? That's incredibly close to what my prediction is because I'm very similar. I only see these guys have gotten better. I understand the offensive line appears to have gotten weaker. I don't think that's true. I think they're going to be, in a couple of weeks, you're going to see they're going to be about even where they were. We obviously improved at the quarterback position. Arguably, you could say we improved at the wide receiver position if Treadwell does better. We improved in the safety position, adding Iloka. We improved in the D-line, adding Sheldon Richardson. We improved in the cornerbacks, adding Holton Hill and Mike Hughes. Every single facet of this team has improved. We've improved in punter, which we didn't talk about. Kicker watch 2018. Have a new punter.
Yeah.
Great. Great decision.
No touchbacks last year.
Great decision.
I mean, punting game was decent.
I love it. Great decision. But every single facet of this team has improved.
We might have downgraded at kicker.
Arguable.
We don't know.
Arguable. Kicker watch 2018 is alive and well. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah. I digress.
But regardless, almost every position we've either upgraded or stayed relatively even.
Yeah.
I don't see how that doesn't lead you to be the most excited you've ever been for this team, even with the holes. So I'm with you, but I don't think the offense is quite going to completely crush them.
Yeah, I might have got a little high there.
I still had it as 13, or 49ers 13, Minnesota 31.
Okay.
So we're still up there. But I'm only predicting one field goal.
Okay. I'm surprised. I thought we were going to see the single-digit prediction from you.
You know, if I was a gambling man, I might do that just for the lulls. But I think they're going to get a garbage time touchdown late. I think it's going to be 31-6 really late, and they're going to get a garbage time TD and make it 31-13.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
Well, I'm excited. Sunday cannot get here soon enough. Luckily, I've got a Saturday night Gophers game to kind of bridge me over, but
it should be good.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, I mean, tweet us your questions. We might throw a couple polls out. I'll probably be live tweeting during the game.
Yeah, I might be on the side.
Well, you're at the game.
Actually
enjoy
being
the
there.
Game. Yeah, it's, yeah, you watch it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of just want to take in the moment, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that'll do it for this episode.
Check out the preview show.
Coming up.
Keep sharing the love. Some of you have been, you know, telling us you love the show. Send us some questions.
Appreciate you all. Yeah, send us any question you got, you know, on Vikings related or even not, you know.
We're in.
You want to know anything of us? I'm an open book, man. Now, if you want to read it or not, that's a whole different question. But in another case, I'm at Namok7 on Twitter.
Musky_Mike.
That's where we're at.
Skolgers Podcast.
Skolgers.com. On the
beautiful website.
On the Climb in the Pocket network. So if you're hearing us over there, great. Keep doing that.
Keep doing it. They got good stuff over there.
Absolutely. They're just crushing it right now. So it's going to do it for us. We'll catch you in the next one.